When you buy Kroger brand products, you feel like you're winning. That's because they offer proven quality at lower than low prices. In fact, we guarantee that you and your family will love how Kroger brand products taste, or you get your money back. So next time you're shopping for the family, look for delicious Kroger brand products, because they'll make you all feel like you're winning. Shop now, in-store, or online. Kroger, fresh for everyone.
This is the Training Camp Report with Tom Opperman and Bob Labriola on Steelers Nation Radio.
Labs, today is the penultimate day of Steelers training camp practices open to the public. It's the penultimate Training Camp Report show, and that's a big fancy college word for second to last. So,
I was going to say, where did you learn that? Did you have to look that up?
I did have to look that up. Yes, I have my dictionary right next to me here. Make sure I sound a little bit smarter than I actually am when I open up this show. But the finish line is on the horizon for the Steelers, for us. Are you sad? Are you getting a little choked up that you're going to have to look at St. Vincent in the rearview mirror here coming up?
No, I mean, honestly, I love coming out here. I do. I mean, it's, you know, in terms of a training camp, I mean, it's great. It's a great setting. You know, everything is kind of contained. You know, I like waking up and being at work, you know. It's very convenient, but as you mentioned, the sight of this place in the rearview mirror when it's over is, you know, one of the highlights. I don't know that I would say it's second or first in terms of, you know, arriving or leaving. You know, which do I like better? But you know, it's a highlight. I will say that, and yeah, it's time. It's time to leave. It's time to leave the old college dorm. I'm ready to end the sharing the bathroom with the fellas, you know, all of those kinds of things. And I can go back now to ignoring the 6:30 sports report on the DV morning
show. That bleeds through your walls that you share in the dorm rooms, yes.
And I did learn last night, you know, Mike Pursuta, Jerry Dulac, and I did a DVE radio show last night from 7 to 9. And so in the process, it was a break or something. And Pursuta looks over at me and goes, yeah, by the way, smart Alec, I can hear you through the wall too.
Oh, good. So we pay him back. That's good, Labs. You know, an hour and a half later when we go on the air, it's payback time.
Well, you know, it's ebb and flow. It's not only on the practice fields, it's up in the dorms too.
Well, it's almost over, but you still got a couple practices to get through if you're the Steelers. And yesterday was a practice following an off day, and Tomlin, we'll hear from him in a little bit, but he mentioned in his presser, you know, he liked the urgency. The guys came out strong, and that's kind of been the case all throughout camp. Anytime there's been a practice before a day off, after a day off, practice after a game, the urgency and the intensity has been there for Coach Tomlin. But one thing he did mention in the negative, Labs, is just some sloppiness going on with attention to detail and execution at times. And he also put that on not just the players, but the coaching staff and their teaching process. I think that's just a part of this. You know, you're going to have sloppiness. You're going to have execution problems as you start training camp after an off season apart. You bring the team together. You're trying to gel. But I don't think it's a coincidence that Tomlin wanted to mention it in his opening remarks in this presser, because as camp breaks, the second preseason game starts, and the regular season is on the horizon, you really want to start seeing that sloppiness and those execution start to really, get to a good level, get to a level that he's comfortable with.
Yeah, you know, and I think it's only natural, you know, because, you know, earlier we were just talking about, you know, being here and just the, you know, there's good and bad. I mean, as I was talking about, everything's self-contained and convenient and close, you know, but there's a drudgery to it as well. There just is. I mean,
right.
You're just with the same people all the time. It's relatively close quarters. Your days are pretty much one after the other. Every minute is mapped out for the most part. And so, yeah, I mean, that weighs on you too. And I can, you know, and I'm just speaking for myself, you just, you know, your mind kind of drifts. You're not necessarily concentrating as diligently as you should be all the time to every little thing. And, you know, there's a lot going on for a player on a practice field, a lot of detail you need to be attending to, always on your details, always on, you know, your the screws, as they say sometimes. So, yeah, I could see where you're going to just have days. And this last little period here, let's not forget, okay, there was a game Friday, off Saturday, practice Sunday, off Monday, then practice yesterday. So, you know, you're not even in the where you can do things, you know, just by rote, because the schedule isn't, you know, when you go through like six straight days of practice, I think you can get into a routine
for sure,
and just kind of robotically, you know, go through it. And I think that helps in a lot of ways. But when things are off and on, as they have been lately, you know, you're waking up in different beds in different states. You know, it's just kind of weird. And so, yeah, the sloppiness really didn't surprise me. I'm actually, if I was surprised about anything, it's that it took this long, you know, for that to kind of hit in. And but one of the things, you know, that Mike Tomlin also talked about was that what he liked about it was, or the challenging point of it, the teaching point of it, was that, you know, can they then kind of adjust in the middle of the session, as opposed to, you know, having to wait until, you know, you watch it on video, evaluate it, talk about it, and then adjust after that. Because as he said, in a game, you don't have that opportunity to do that. You know, if you're sloppy in the first quarter, you know, one of the keys is to be able to adjust to that on the fly, you know, right there on the sideline, or, you know, wherever it might be, and then continue to play and hopefully get better so that you can salvage, you know, the game itself. And what I will say is that there were things that didn't work for one of the units early, that those units then, you know, came back and performed better at the end of the practice. And so I'm going to assume, I wasn't down there, naturally a part of it, I'm going to assume that there were some things that were, you know, adjusted to, or, you know, rough edges were filed off, or whatever it was. And, you know, we saw some of that, you know, ebb and flow kind of thing that is a hallmark of a good team. So, you know, again, it just seems that this, during this training camp, no matter what happens, Mike Tomlin has been turning it into a teaching moment. If it's the weather, if it's the officials here, if it's, you know, whatever it might be, he seems to be taking that and turning it into a, you know, a learning experience for the players, a teaching moment for the coaches, and then, you know, you push on through. So, you know, again, I don't want to be too optimistic here, but I'm liking a lot of what I'm seeing up here. And, you know, hopefully, you know, this continues, because, you know, I think that this team, I'm not going to predict anything, but I think that this team has the potential to be a whole lot better than a lot of people think.
Well, the competition period started yesterday with seven shots, as it often does. And this seven shots edition, Labs, had a little bit of Tomlin stoking those competitive fires at the end of it.
Yeah, you know, I've seen seven shots now for years and years. I mean,
you see it in your sleep, basically, now.
Well, let's not get carried away. but, you know, I've seen it a lot of times, and I never saw this. And what happened was, you know, for the second straight practice, seven shots. For the second straight drill, seven shots drill in practice. The first team offense, led by Kenny Pickett, they get four reps, and in each of the last two, the only touchdown scored was a running play. So, you know, it was not Kenny Pickett's finest hour,
right,
in either one of those. You know, the first play, handoff to Najee Harris, goes off right tackle into the end zone, touchdown. But then the next three were passes, and all of them fell incomplete. You know, the first was, again, you know, it's hard for me to judge, you know, did Pat Freiermuth cut off his route early? Was the throw just off target? I don't know. But, you know, the bottom line is it was out of his reach and was incomplete. The next play, Najee Harris did a nice job, by the way. He adjusted himself after the snap from one side of the quarterback to the other to pick up a blitz. But I think it was a back shoulder throw for Allen Robinson. That was incomplete. Levi Wallace was in coverage. And then the third attempt was intended for George Pickens. And, you know, Joey Porter Jr. just made a good play. I mean, Pickens had it in his hands, but Porter came up and just raked the ball out. So the first team was done. The defense had a 3-1 edge in the drill so far. So then Mitch Trubisky comes in, quickly throws a pass to Connor Hayward in the end zone for a touchdown, throws to Darnell Washington in the end zone for another touchdown. It's 3-3. So here we are now, the tiebreaker, the seventh game, however you want to call it. It's tied 3-3. So Mike Tomlin then did, again, as I said earlier, something I had never seen before. Kind of stopped the drill and quickly ordered the first unit offense and the first unit defense back onto the field. Because, as he said later, you know, he didn't want to have the drill riding on the pups. So you put the first teams back out on the field. Pickett went to Deontay Johnson. He made the catch for a touchdown. He beat, well, I won't say beat, but Joey Porter Jr. was in coverage. So, you know, the offense, they had their moment. You know, I don't know what was for dinner last night or if that was even, you know, hanging in the balance. But the offense, after the first team group of the offense, after not looking very good, came back and delivered in the clutch and won it for their unit 4-3.
Yeah, and I know he wanted to see best on best, you know, to get that tiebreaker, but I also wonder if Tomlin wanted to see how that first unit on offense would bounce back to such a struggle in their first four attempts in seven shots, you know, having that short memory and bouncing back to win a drill, you know, a la winning a game late in the fourth quarter that you struggle in the first three quarters.
Right. And, you know, it wasn't just yesterday too, because as I said, Sunday's practice. Yeah. Sunday. I got to keep my days right here.
Right.
Sunday's practice was the same thing. The only touchdown that the, you know, first offense scored was a running play. So yeah, it was a couple of bad, drills in a row for the first team offense. But again, in crunch time, when it needed it, it got what it needed.
Coach Tomlin stopped by and chatted with the media following practice yesterday. Let's take a listen to what Coach had to say.
Really good day for us to run out of a off day, and I thought they did that. I thought they brought energy and urgency. We got some coaching, teaching, and learning to do as far as execution and detail. At times a little bit sloppy on both sides, but that's a component of it too. You know, more importantly than that, when that happens, I'm looking at our ability to rally in the midst of it. Can we flip it in the middle of practice? Because that's kind of reflective of the way things transpire in stadiums. You know, if things aren't going our way, what is our ability to flip it in stadium as opposed to, you know, acknowledging it and fixing it in the upcoming week? And so sometimes when you have a day like that, it's good to make that point. It's good to challenge them in those ways, players and coaches, to make necessary schematic adjustments, to gather ourselves, to refocus in an effort to finish practice in the way that we desire. And I saw semblances of that, and so that's good. Those that are not healthy enough to participate, things are moving in the right direction. We're getting more participation from some of those guys who missed time, Benton, Porter Jr., the two safeties, KZ and Neal. And so it's reasonable to expect those things to continue, and as we get closer to game time, we'll look closer then at how we divide the labor up and who plays and how much they play. But right now, we're just appreciating these days, the work that's here, this atmosphere, the support that we get from Steeler Nation. Just we appreciate it all. Questions?
The defense was pretty loud there at the end. They were getting into it a little bit, huh?
Yeah, they were. And, man, we do some things to stimulate competition. We move the ball and fun stuff. Good competition things.
Mike, what are you seeing in the competition between Nick Herbig and Broderick Jones? And what do you think that's doing for each of them to have that magic?
I think we're all the big winner. When you get two young guys that have some talent and they're competing against each other, regardless of who wins the reps, we win. Because it's an iron-on-iron principle. It's fun to watch them do it. Both got tremendous upside. And so they're good dance partners.
Mike, building off of that, you talked at length last year about the continuity of the offensive line, how healthy you guys were. You built up the depth, and you also brought in some veteran influence there, too. Have you noticed that being the same this year, and just as well girded in that regard this season?
You know, not comparing it in any way to last year. I just like the trajectory of the group. I like the mix of talent, experience, and inexperience. I like the depth and competition. We're positioned to take a step with that group, and we're excited about it.
What went into your decision last play of seven shots in the early start?
It was 3-3, just to stoke the competition, get those guys back out there and let them compete and be leaders for the other groups. And so, you know, you hate to have the drill riding on the pups. And so we put the starters back out there.
What have you seen out of Watts and elevated reps, Armon? He's not young, but he's new to you guys.
He's an NFL player. You can tell he's been in an NFL environment. He's available consistently every day. He'll be given an opportunity to stay the case for himself for sure.
What have you seen so far from Spencer Anderson, and what about him? Maybe do you think center was a possibility?
He did all those things in college. And so, you know, if you show versatility, it helps his cause and ours. And he appears to be a young guy, at least intellectually, that's capable of handling it. The more we give him reps, it'll be revealed whether he's physically capable of handling it. So far, so good.
It's just a bad day for Marcus Golden.
Took care of him.
Larry Ogunjobi, how's
he? Moving closer.
Coach Tomlin speaking to the media following practice yesterday. Labs, just touching on his injury report before we hit the break here. Nothing really specific, but he did just say, you know, anybody who are not healthy enough to participate are moving in the right direction, so that's a positive. And then you saw some participation yesterday from guys that have missed time. Keanu Benton was a limited participant in practice. Joey Porter Jr. was out there. DeMonte Casey and Keanu Neal. So as Tomlin said, it's reasonable to expect those things to continue, and it looks like the team is getting healthier, despite not having many, you know, debilitating injuries to begin with.
Yeah, from now on, we're not allowed to talk about that anymore because, you know, it's like saying Beetlejuice three straight times.
Yeah, I've been saying it a lot during the camp report shows.
I'm just kidding. Tempting fate, whatever. But yeah, it does seem to be trending in the right way. You know, Joey Porter Jr., of the people that were mentioned, well, yeah, DeMonte Casey, they were full participants. You know, as an example, Keanu Benton, if yesterday was a regular season practice and the team had to file a practice report under the parameters that with which you do that during the season, he would have been listed as a limited participant. I mean, he took part in the individual things, but none of the 11-on-11. He was out there the entire time. So that would qualify as limited participant during a regular season practice. Joey Porter Jr., however, DeMonte Casey, they were full participants. I mean, they took part in the 11-on-11 stuff. And it seemed that throughout the 11-on-11, they were just part of the regular rotation. You know, no one's out there all the time, obviously. You got 90-man rosters, a lot of personnel groupings and stuff. But they seem to be with their group throughout the entire afternoon.
The Steelers added something new to the practice script yesterday. We'll get into that competition period drill next, and we'll also hear from Alex Highsmith as the training camp report rolls on Steelers Nation Radio.
What's up? I'm John Wall.
And I'm CJ Toledano, and we're starting a new podcast presented by DraftKings called Point Game. We're now joined by three-time NBA Sixth Man of the Year, elite bucket getter. Let's please welcome Jamal Crawford to Point Game. King of the Court one-on-one tournament. If they had it back in your prime, do you think he could have took it all?
I'm going to be honest with you. I don't think I could have took it all, but I think I would have shocked a lot of people. I think Kobe and everybody in their prime, Kobe would win a one-on-one contest.
Yeah, because you got to think. He's going to guard. He don't care about guarding.
He's going to guard.
He's going to guard. Like, you see him in the Olympics, he's going to guard. And then on top of that.
Like that, see that?
Ladies and gentlemen, please welcome Sam Cassell to Point Game.
I remember you came to my room crying tears. I mean, he was in a culture shock. And then he's going to withdraw us about winning.
Remember what I told you? I said, OG, you think I can get paid and go back and play in college because it ain't it?
Check out Point Game with John Wall and CJ Toledano on the iHeartRadio app, DraftKings YouTube, or wherever you get your podcasts.
This is the Training Camp Report with Tom Opperman and Bob Labriola on Steelers Nation Radio.
Move the ball. Pretty self-explanatory new drill that the Steelers implemented in training camp. It's the last week of camp, and they're putting new wrinkles into the practice script labs. And this was something, you know, a little bit, I don't want to say unique. I think it called on elements from other drills that you've seen in the past, but it was new. And it was something, you know, fresh that these guys could participate in.
Yeah, with little wrinkles on a few different things. It was a tackling drill for the most part. And, you know, what it entailed was, you know, the offense got the ball first and 10 at the 30-yard line. So if you're on offense, you keep the ball as long as you continue to move the sticks. You know, it's different from 2 minute where there was a clock, you know, involved and timeouts and, you know, that kind of thing. So there wasn't any of that. And so you move, if you're on offense, you keep the ball, you stay on the field as long as you continue to, you know, get first downs. For the defense, the object is, you know, to prevent the first down, force a quote-unquote punt or turn it over on downs depending upon, you know, where the offense was at the time, and that's how you end the drill. So, yeah, there were three periods of this, as it turned out. And it was lively. Not so much for, you know, the hitting, the violence, but I mean, seriously, you know, these are professionals. They've been here a long time. You know, this is it's a drill in towards the end of a training camp. I mean, we've talked about this already so far in this particular hour, you know, how looking forward I'm getting to, you know, packing up and leaving.
Right.
I can only imagine what the players are going through in that respect. Yeah. But they were into it. I mean, there was a lot of talking and chirping at, you know, defense guys on the sideline talking and chirping at the offense. Offense guys on the sideline talking and chirping at the defense. I mean, it went back and forth. And, you know, it looked like they were having fun, you know, in terms of, you know, what you would call fun at the end of a 2.5-hour practice in the third week of this camp or whatever it is. But, it was fun to watch, too. I enjoyed it. You know, there are drills that kind of move the needle on the interest scale. And as I said, I had never heard of this before. But this was okay. And, you know, you look at it, in terms of the results, you know, the offense, you know, got their stuff together and, won 7 shots. Okay. So now, move the ball. The first repetition, the offense goes 3 and out. Okay. Kenny Pickett on third down, he threw an incomplete pass on 3rd and 2 from the 38-yard line. So that was it, forced a punt, quote unquote. And so then that ended that repetition and the defense was very happy about that. Second rep, you know, Mitch Trubisky came on the second offense. He gained a couple of first downs without facing a third down. But then it was from the defense's 39-yard line, Jaylen Warren gained a yard. Then Trubisky threw two incomplete passes. In other words, when I say the defense is 39-yard line, the offense had crossed the 50. I mean, they moved that far. Right. First and 10 from the 39, Jaylen Warren gains a yard, and then Trubisky throws back-to-back incomplete passes. The first one was incomplete for Miles Boykin because he was under pressure, and the second one was incomplete also because he was under pressure. Outside linebacker David Perales forced that incompletion. Okay, so that's another win for the defense. So then go back to the first units, back to the 30-yard line, and this was, you know, now you're starting to see, I don't know, things that you really want to see by the people you really want to see them from, I guess is a good way to put it. So the first pass or the first play of the third repetition, you know, Pickett goes a little bit farther down the field for George Pickens cutting towards the sideline. Minka Fitzpatrick comes out of nowhere and bats the ball away. Okay. Lots of chirping, lots of chirping. George Pickens, you know, likes to remind the defensive players when he makes a great play, and that has happened fairly regularly out here. And so Cam Hayward and some of the other defensive players were pointing out that Minka knocked the ball away from him. Okay. So then second and 10, Kenny Pickett's pass went through Deontay Johnson's hands. It was high and hard. Maybe he should have caught it. I'm sure that if it was in a game, there would be some moaning about it, but from the fan base, who knows? I might have even classified it as a drop. You know, one of those you should have had it. Third and 10, Keon O'Neill came through on a blitz, and he just forced another throw toward Deontay Johnson, and that one's batted away by Levi Wallace. And, you know, Cam Hayward was... he was doing a lot of talking after that. I mean, all of the defensive guys, I mean, they were letting the offense know that, you know, three reps, you didn't really move the ball. You didn't live up to the name of the drill. So, as I said, I enjoyed watching it. I personally liked that back and forth. I mean, it never escalated to the point of fights, you know, or pushing or shoving or anything. You know, they're talking to each other. And
they call it the competition period for a reason, Labs. You got to get out there and compete. Yes, I get
right. And I think it's also justified during the competition period, if you win the competition period, to remind the other side that you won the competition period. And then that was the end of the practice. And as I said, I was entertained. And, you know, as we've mentioned many times on this hour previously, my personal entertainment should be, you know, one of the key points of every day out on the field for the team.
That's why Tomlin looks at you every time before a drill starts, like in Gladiator, the Emperor. The thumbs up or the thumbs down? Are you having fun or are you not, Labs? If it's a thumbs down, we'll switch things up. We'll get it a little bit more exciting.
Or as Joe Pesci said in Goodfellas, I amuse you. You know.
Well, one thing that was amusing and entertained you, I'm sure, is you got to see that ebb and flow that you've talked about on this training camp report repeatedly throughout this camp process. You know, you don't want to see the offense just dominate in these competition periods. You don't want to see the defense just overwhelm in these competition periods. You want to see balance. And I think yesterday was just a perfect example on the micro of that. You saw seven shots where the offense got the better of the defense, and then the defense responds by getting the better of the offense. That's what you want to see. That's what good teams present in these camp settings, is a natural back and forth and not just one overwhelmingly one-sided result.
Yeah, and one of the things I've noticed, though, and this is from years and years of coming to training camp, the fans cheer for when the offense makes a great play. Like, the fans didn't cheer when Minka broke up that pass.
So the defense becomes public enemy number one out there.
Well, you know, I don't know why that is. And as I said, that's been going on, you know, two coaches ago. It was always, and I remember Lee Flowers lost his mind one time. At that, because, you know, the defense was having a good practice or a good session or a good period of a practice, whatever it was. I don't really remember specifically. But, you know, every time the offense did something, the fans would cheer. And every time the defense did something good, it was silent. And, you know, Lee Flowers, he was kind of a boisterous, you know,
personality.
an A personality, I guess you would say. And he started yelling at the crowd, you know, wow. Y'all never cheer for us or whatever he said. I mean, it wasn't anything profane or anything, but it was, you know, he was emotional a little bit.
It wasn't exactly all in jest is what you're saying. There was some seriousness to it.
Well, it was similar to the after the, and don't ever bring this up to Mike Tomlin either, because I did once and I can tell you that it's kind of still a touchy subject.
Oh.
The 2001 game, the Steelers played in Tampa against the Buccaneers, and that was at a time when Tampa Bay was constantly a preseason pick, you know, to either go to the Super Bowl or win the Super Bowl, you know, whatever it was.
Those Gruden eras, or that was Dungy, right? That back then. Or was that would have been Gruden, I think. Gruden would have come in.
No. That was
Dungy?
That was Dungy's last year.
Okay, cool.
2002, they actually won the Super Bowl.
Right,
but 2001, so the Steelers go down there and spank them bad. I mean, it wasn't a big margin on the scoreboard, but Jerome Bettis just ran over everyone.
It was just a dominant performance.
Yeah. And Lee Flowers, he started after the game. He's calling them paper champions.
Right.
Buccaneers are paper champions. And so, you know, one time I thought, you know, hey, I have a good relationship with the head coach. I'm going to ask him about the paper champions game. No sense of humor. None. So, don't bring that up around Mike Tomlin. He will not react to it favorably. And, you know, I can't really blame him because, you know, what I think is funny, he lived it from the other side, and so he still doesn't think it's funny. Two Super Bowl rings later.
Yeah, I was going to say, and he won the ring the next year. Come on, coach.
Yeah. But anyway, I kind of went off on a tangent there, but that's one of the things that I've noticed in coming to all these training camps all these years is fans like offense, and that's what they cheer for. And so I do think that maybe some of that seeps in to the defense's mentality. And when they do something, since they're not getting a lot of cheers from the crowd, sometimes they generate their own enthusiasm.
Well, one guy who hasn't been hearing the crowd cheers has been Alex Highsmith, but he stopped by to chat with Missy Matthews and Craig Wolfley following practice yesterday and talked about the defense's success in that move the ball competition period and much more. Let's take a listen to Steelers outside linebacker Alex Highsmith.
Alex, before we talk a lot of things, especially about that first preseason game, explain the last team period you guys just went through and how it ended for the defense.
Yeah, you know, I feel like it ended good for us. You know, that's what I love about the practices that we have, and you know how Coach Tomlin organizes our practices is they're meant to be competitive. And I think, you know, today it got very competitive, especially towards the end. And so I think, you know, by him doing that, you know, it helps us become, you know, competitors, and to be successful to win in this league, you have to be so competitive. This is the ultimate competitor's game, and so that's what I love about it. And the competition was definitely out today.
Alex, the beautiful thing about it is you look across from each other. You've been against Danny Moore and Broderick Jones, all these guys, teammates and everything. But then when you get to the competitive period, all of a sudden it's like, I don't even know you. And that's where the competition derives, because now it's one-on-ones. It's, you know, mano a mano, and you have at it. But that's what really keeps the sword sharp, does it not?
Oh, for sure. It's an iron sharpening iron, you know, going against those guys every day. And make each other better. And just like you said, you know, just you always want to win. So having that competitive edge, you know, like I said, Coach Tom was always there, especially during the pass rush one-on-ones. He's always there watching us and driving the competition. I know you see it too. So just him being there, you know, he just really, you know, he demands, you know, that you compete and that you give your all. And so that's what I love about it.
Alex, I know some starters didn't play on Friday night in Tampa Bay. You didn't play a ton either. But when you guys went back and watched the film, what did you guys learn as a unit?
Yeah, I think just no matter how we play, there's always ways we can improve. You know, ultimately, you know, we came up with the victory, and that's what matters most. And it's always what's going to matter most. No matter if it's preseason or regular season, getting the victory is first and foremost. But just like I said, you know, there's little things we can improve on. But, you know, overall, it's just starting to see, you know, a lot of young guys out there making plays and stuff. That was really cool. And just being out there, you know, defensively, you know, getting our communication down and stuff like that. Like I said, you know, we've got a lot of ways we can improve. But overall, it was a good first start.
Well, let's see now. In particular, you got the ghost move. You got the spinnerooski. You got the one-hand stab on the inside. What are we adding to the arsenal that you can reveal without, you know, having to kill me or anything like that? It'll make for a short interview.
I'm trying to perfect those, and I think I'm going to keep everything.
Close to the vest.
Yeah, close to the chest. I'm not trying to reveal too much. But at the same time, I'm trying to perfect what I have already. Just continue to get better in that way.
Alex, when Nick Herbig came in, he played a lot of special teams in Tampa, but then we saw him on defense and what he was able to do in a limited number of snaps. What do you guys like about him, and what can we expect from him this rookie year?
Yeah, you know, I think he definitely played really good on coming in. You know, he's got a motor. You know, to be successful and to be a playmaker in this league, you got to have that. And so he was getting out the ball fast. He was rushing well. And so I'm looking forward to see how he builds on that in the second game. But, you know, he's been rushing well all camp. And so, you know, he definitely came out and had a good first showing.
Alex, for yourself in particular, as you face the Buff Bills coming up, going into Acrisure, it's nice, it's a home game and everything else. But what is it that you're looking for from your first game to maybe the second game? Is there anything that you're kind of look at and you go, oh, I want to tweak that, or I want to get a little better at this? Because it is always an ever-evolving game of doing something a little bit better.
Yeah, just like I said, you know, I only played three plays the first game, and so really it's been me watching my film from 2022 and watching ways that I can get better, you know, getting better, getting up the rock, shedding blocks, just being more violent at the point of attack. So just trying to work on those little things. It starts here at practice. I feel like I've been doing that, and I'm looking forward to see it translate to the game.
Alex, we know it will be ultimately up to head coach Mike Tomlin, but does the first team unit on defense want to play together? Not a significant amount of snaps on Saturday, but enough to just knock off the rust and know that what you guys are doing out here on the practice fields can translate to game situations.
Yeah, for sure. You know, we'll see what decisions made, but, you know, it's always good to get out there and, you know, get your feet wet for the year and go out there and get some reps and stuff like that, you know, so we'll see when that decision is made. But, you know, it's always, like I said, even though I was only out there three plays the other day, it was good to get out there and just, you know, get some plays in and stuff like that. So, you know, we're going to see.
Steelers outside linebacker Alex Highsmith following practice yesterday. When Labs and I come back on the training camp report, going to sink our teeth a little bit into a position battle that's potentially going on that offensive line. And no, I'm not referring to the left tackle spot. That's on the way next on the training camp report on Steelers Nation Radio.
This is the Training Camp Report with Tom Opperman and Bob Labriola on Steelers Nation Radio.
Kendrick Green has been a bit of a phenomenon up at Steelers camp in 2023 with his usage in the fullback position, lining up in the backfield, catching some passes, clearing the road for Warren and Najee. But Labs, you're going to have to do more than just, you know, play a small role at an interesting fullback position to make this team, I think. You're going to have to also establish yourself as that backup center. Kendrick Green has the first shot at that, ran with the twos against Tampa Bay, and to put it lightly, it could have gone a little bit better for Kendrick in that aspect.
Yeah, the one thing I will say, though, in his defense, is I've asked several people who, you know these kinds of things. That wasn't a holding penalty.
Okay.
Shouldn't have been called, because the way it was explained to me was he didn't have his hands too far outside the defensive player, nor did he use his hands to redirect him. So, now I'm not saying it wouldn't be called in a regular season game even, because, you know, as listeners to this show always know that I'm never critical of NFL officials.
Well, they never make a mistake, Labs.
They never, well, just to ask them, they'll tell you. So that was a bad penalty. So that wasn't one necessarily that deserves to go on the Kendrick Green black mark board. But you're right. The one bad snap was not pleasant. He did bounce back yesterday, you know, during the practice. At one point, again, you know, one of the things that I've started doing now the last several days is, you know, a lot of times during an afternoon practice, there will be things going on simultaneously. For example, during a period that's usually 7-on-7, which is just, receivers running routes, a quarterback not being under pressure. You know, it's just pitch and catch kind of. And then simultaneously to that, it will be one-on-one offensive lineman versus defensive lineman, pass rush, pass protection. So now what I do is, you know, at practices, Mike Tomlin wears a white baseball cap. He's the only one in the white baseball cap, so it's easy to find him. So I find the white baseball cap, and wherever the white baseball cap is, that's the drill that I watch. So yesterday, it was one-on-one pass rush, pass protection. And one of the matchups was Kendrick Green against Isaiah Loudermilk. So after the first two reps, all the defensive guys were yelling, rubber match, rubber match. And Mike Tomlin said, ain't no rubber match. He lost the first two. So Kendrick Green, you know, okay, let me just say this. And I can't, you know, if you want to ask Max or Wolf, you know, they'll give you a much more detailed assessment of Kendrick Green's performances, how he's doing, whether it's, you know, his hand placement, is he dropping his hips, you know, all that offensive lineman stuff that I don't understand. That's why I asked them. But here's my thing. Okay. September 10th, the regular season opens against the San Francisco 49ers. Pretty good team. Good defense. Who's your backup center? I mean, Nate Herbig would be someone you would consider, certainly. He's hurt. Is he going to be hurt? How much time is he going to miss? I don't know the answer to that. So, and we're asking this question now. So what we know right now is Nate Herbig is injured. Spencer Anderson, very interesting guy.
That's Mike Tomlin talked about.
Okay. Mike Tomlin talked about him after in his post-practice assessment. And he mentioned, you know, he's intellectually, he has the ability to play the position. Now we're going to see if he can handle it physically. Okay. Excellent. You know, Spencer Anderson's having a good camp. But by all counts, his best position is tackle. Right. He can play them all, but his best position is tackle.
And he did have experience at all of them in college, correct? He kind of went all over that line at Maryland.
Right. But, you know, the 49ers are not Illinois. You know, he was a center at Maryland. That's the Big Ten. They don't open with Illinois. They open with the 49ers. So, you know, that's a little bit different, kind of nut to crack. And it's the first game, you know.
Right.
So it's not like, well, Spencer Anderson, he might be very good at it come Halloween center. Okay, great. But what do you do September 10th? So to me, it's going to be interesting to see how the initial 53-man roster is made up, because you got to have a backup center. I mean, I'm not going to say backup center is as important as backup quarterback, but it's pretty close. So whoever you have in that job or that role has to be, you have to be comfortable enough in him to put him in the game and, you know, expect the offense to continue to function. So, you know, I think that it's a non-sexy kind of thing to watch for fans.
Right.
But I think it's going to be interesting in terms of how the initial 53-man roster is made up, because I don't think you go into the start of the regular season without a backup center that you feel confident you can put in a game against a team like the 49ers and still be able to operate offensively.
Yeah, and, you know, it's, I think, important to stress that we're talking backup center here. Mason Cole has his grips on that starting spot, but it is still important to establish depth and at that position as well, because, you know, I've heard some people speculate, well, maybe a James Daniels can bump inside and play center in a pinch. I don't really want that, Labs. If Daniels is healthy, I want him to stay at that right guard spot and really establish himself there. I would much rather prefer seeing someone like a Kendrick Green, you know, really be able to take the reins on this number two spot.
Yeah, and I mean, here's the other thing. I mean, James Daniels, you know, theoretically, you know, for the purposes of this discussion, James Daniels can, you know, step in and play center in a pinch. Never saw that in a Steeler uniform.
Nope.
So, yeah, he can do it. Maybe he has done it. But, you know, 2 years ago, 2.5 years ago, whenever it was, Again, I don't know that you want to throw him in against the 49ers, because when will he start practicing that? Because by my, overly stressed eyes, I haven't seen it here this whole summer. So, when you start getting them reps anytime soon, and if you do that, as you mentioned, you're moving, you're kind of messing up two spots to fix one, or try to fix one. I'm not banging the drum for Kendrick Green. I'm just trying to look at it in terms of reality. What are the options? Because the NFL, in terms of coaching decisions, is all about options. If you have a better option, cut them. If you don't, you got to keep them. And that's how that decision is made, and how decisions like that are made all over the league every year.
Only two more practices open to the public at St. Vincent College. So if you haven't yet, get up there and witness your Pittsburgh Steelers in their training camp setting before it is too late. Labs and I will be back again for our final show tomorrow morning at 8 a.m. Can you believe it, Labs? The final show is finally here. It's like Christmas morning.
So are we having cake, or what are we going to sing? I mean, what's the celebration going to be? Think of something.
I'll Venmo you like $5. You can get some Dunkin' Donuts up there or something before the show starts. That'll do it for
us. Sounds good to me.
That'll do it for us today. In the Locker Room is up next as Wolf and Starks take over on Steelers Nation Radio.
Whether you're a savvy spender maximizing your savings with cashback rewards, a thrifty rate watcher seeking the lowest interest, or a travel enthusiast looking for extraordinary perks, Kemba Financial Credit Union has a Visa to complement your lifestyle and unique needs. Apply today at Kemba.org to unlock a limited-time 2% cashback on purchases, and pay 0% interest on balance transfers for an entire year with a new Visa from Kemba. You deserve a card that works for you. Restrictions apply. Offer ends June 30th, 2024.